That HaKadosh Baruch Hu only speaks to Avram after he parayed Lot Mi'imai, that after Lot is separated from Avram, that's when Hashem speaks to Avram, which clearly implies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to speak to Avram as long as he was hanging around, or as long as Lot was hanging with him, and that clearly implies that he did the right thing by sending him away. Rashi says in Yudalid, as long as this Rosh was with him, the Dibur HaKadosh Baruch Hu stayed away from him. Alright? Okay. So the question we're going to address is... Yes, thank you very much. The question we're going to address is, did Avram do the right thing or not by keeping Lot or sending away? On the one hand, this implies that keeping him caused him problems. Hashem wouldn't speak with him. And yet when he sends him away, Hashem has tainus on Abraham. And with the whole world, you're trying to be makar. And your own nephew, you're thrown away. Alright? That's the kash that we're trying to figure out. How do you deal with this? Okay? Anybody not have one of these handouts?
What is this?
See in a second.
Where does the name Lot come from?
It's from
Well, Lot is probably...
All right.
Probably his parents.
Yeah.
Okay. So now... Someone said to me, this goes back, somebody said to me years ago, I don't know why this person wrote this or what his address was, but he does a very nice job of going through the sugya. He uses it for Kir Rechaikim. I'm not saying Kir Rechaikim. I haven't said more than Hashkafa of how to deal with people when it's appropriate to... It's not just when you have a friend, and your friend really could be a bad influence on you. On the other hand, you could be a good influence on him. So, like, to what point do you need to stay with him to help him? To one point, you say, no, I can't be with him because he can impact me. So it's not just kibra chaykim. It's in general, you know, how do you deal with somebody who has lesser values than you that you could rub off on him, but he could rub off on you? How do you do that? And I will tell you also, the Baal HaTanya says, interesting thing, that when it comes to tumah, if a carbon is tame, or a piece of meat is tame, and it touches a carbon, the carbon becomes tame. However, if you have a piece of meat that's kaddish, the carbon, and it touches a piece of neutral meat, it doesn't become kaddish. If you cook that neutral meat with a carbon, then that neutral meat now becomes kaddish as well. So it's interesting, the Baal HaTanya points out, when it comes to tumah, all you need is maga. The fact that it comes in contact, it becomes tame. In order to make something tar, it's not enough to be maga. It has to be what? It has to be cooked together. It has to be a whole process. So you see that it's much easier, says the Baal HaTanya, to be influenced l'ra than be influenced l'tov. To make something tame, just coming in contact with something tame can make you tame. You want to make something pure? Then you have to have not just contact. There has to be a chmimus, a warmth, a connection, right? Whatever we want to call it, right? And the cooking process creates a connection. So it absorbs it. It has to be absorbed. It can't just be touching. So he sees as the Baal HaTanya that tumah is much easier to contract than this kedusha. So it becomes even more difficult to actually gauge, okay, listen, if I come in contact with this person who's less than me, I could be influenced by him. And it takes much more for me to influence him. Right? So that's the big shaila. Alright? So he used it in terms of Kir Rechaikim, but it's not just for Kir Rechaikim. Alright? Okay. So first he talks about Stam, the achrayis that we have to deal with the Arachot. So he quotes the second paragraph. The Navi Yeshaya says, Shalom, Shalom, L'Rachot U'L'Karev Amar Hashem Refaisav. Right? Hashem says, it should be peace, both who are far and those in the air. And Hashem says, I will heal him. All right? So Chazal say, Rachel refers to somebody who became alienated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now he wants to become closer. Right? And with such a Rachel, right, you're supposed to, it says, Shamsham l'rochayk u'l'karev, that it seems that there's an achrayis to deal with the Rachel even before the Karev. Right? Shalom, shalom, l'rochayk u'l'karev. Right? We're duty bound to interact with such a rochayk before one interacts with the karev. So that's an incredible thing. That achray is to take care of the rochayk before the karev. Now, we will discuss that not that doesn't apply to everybody. We'll see what that means. And we actually learned this Nissen Alper. We spoke at the beginning of Lecha. We'll see how it applies. So Kiru Rechaykim, he says, is based on the principle of Hatarei Kamecha, right? So then the Rambam says, it says the following in Hilchas Avelus, Kol Hadvarim Shata Roitza Shiyasu Oisalach Acherim Asayata Oisalachicha B'Torah Mitzvahs. So Vahatra Kamecha, the Rambam takes that phrase and applies to Torah Mitzvahs. All the things that you want others to do for you, do for them in Torah Mitzvahs. In other words, the same way you want people to help you, if you understand that Torah Mitzvahs is helpful to other people, you should want that Torah Mitzvahs also. So based on Haftarah Kamecha, that's the principle of Kiruv. Alright? I think we spoke about this. And we also said that there's two other principles. He told Hashav Zaveda, we said. Remember we talked about that? And we also said it's based on what?
Avos Hashem.
Avos Hashem, correct. Alright. But then he brings down Haftarah Kamecha. Alright. And then he quotes the following. Let's listen what the Chofetz Chaim says in his famous work called Avos HaChesed. Inyan maskel el dal shehu ksil binyani adeus. Like ksilas ay tom in aderech. And the idea of being enlightening a person who is a fool when it comes to Torah, and now he's gone off the path. V'nasa rosh of going zed sarach lahaskel eich lashiva l'tshuva. A person has to think of how to bring him back to tshuva. B'cholzo b'chlal mitzasei shel Haftarah Kamecha. And it's all part of the mitzasei of Haftarah Kamecha. Like it says in the Rambam. In Hilchos Deis, mitzvah kol odom lev as kol echem Yisrael kegufay. Shel Haftarah Kamecha. L'ficha tzorach l'saper v'shvachay. V'lochas al moinei, kashuchas al moinei, atzma v'ayitz v'kvayt atzma. And it quotes the Rambam that Haftarah Kamecha applies, you should care for his money, for his cover, as much as you care for your own. Okay. On the other hand, so clearly we see that we have a chiyuv to take care of people, right? Both their physical and their spiritual needs. Both. On the other hand, there are clear statements from Chazal that seem to contradict this. We say in Pirkei Avos, Al tischabu l'rasha. Don't be associated with the Russia. Harchei mishachem ra. Keep away from a bad neighbor. Kesher v'shoim, enim in a minyan. A group of wicked can't be counted. Oyla Russia, Oyla Shechina. Right? Clearly, you have Chazal saying, stay away from Russia. On the one hand, you're mechuyav to help. On the other hand, he says, stay away from Russia. Alright? Now, it could be, we'll differentiate between a Russia and a neutral person. Alright? Maybe Russia is worse. We'll see. The issue is further sharpened by the seemingly disparaged statements in joining us from harboring any hatred towards our fellow Jew. It says, L'sis nesachich b'lvecha. Do not hate your fellow Jew in your heart. And yet it says, the Gemara says, there is room for sinna in certain circumstances. Right? It says, loisis esachicha, don't hate your brother. It implies that if he's not your brother, you're allowed to hate him. Right? Loisis esachicha means if he's not your brother, you're allowed to hate him. In fact, we say it in Davening, oi havei Hashem sinu ra. If you love Hashem, you hate evil. So, on the one hand, you tell me be makar of evil, and then you tell me, right, Haiv Hashem sinu ra. So, when should you engage in acts of love to try to bring the person close? And when should you profess dissatisfaction and hatred to the person? Right? So, it's not so simple. So, there's a Shita Gebetzes at the end of Bama Kama, on the laws of Maridim V'lei Malin. This is referring to somebody who's an apikoros that fell into a pit that you can actually put him down into a pit, and you have no chiyuv to save him either. So, v'dvarim elu kulam tzrichim laharbas by magas sheim iznayim ha'iyim mechavim behen becham gedele v'nevoinim mada. Says that Shiva Betz is not so simple. The matter demands and presupposes both profound scholarship of multifaceted issues and a keen insight to human situation in general and the Jewish one in particular. In other words, he's saying this halacha that the Russia you totally discard, and if he's drowning, you don't have to save him. He says you really requires tremendous ian. What's a Russia, right? And how to become a Russia, and it's not so simple, right? So bottom line is he's acknowledging at the beginning of this discussion that we're dealing with very, very weighty issues. That sometimes only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could really go into the lave of a person and tell us, is this guy really a good person with a taiva? Or the guy's really so corrupted already, right? Sometimes we don't know that, right? So let's see. So we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is the one that cares about people that have drifted off. Ata noisen yad lepoishim. Right, we say in the pasuk, you stretch out your hands to poishim. V'mincha pshuta lekavel shavim. And your right hand is extended to accept those that want to do tshuva. And then, yet we see the pasuk says, "Halamisanach Hashem es namus kamecha es koited." Hashem, those that hate you, I hate, right? And I strive to rise up against those that want to rise up against you, right? So you see that there's a tremendous balance of loving and hating, right? And v'alach the bedrach of the command, we have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to require this tremendous delicate balance of loving and hating. All right, so we have to, because we have to really emulate all his attributes, right? So okay. Then he says. Now, then he goes, makes a social comment over here. There is a burgeoning tendency in Orthodox Jewish circles today towards isolationism and protectionism in a society whose values have run amok. We can somewhat understand those inclinations. In other words, he says Orthodox circles today kind of circle their wagons. They try to live very insular lives and not get so involved in the world around them, because the world around us is actually quite appropriate. This week's parasha, Parashas Noach, you're dealing in a world that is full of tumor. I think I once told you guys, I heard B'Shem Ramosha, that Ramosha comment, this is going back 40 years ago, Ramosha comment that the world we live in today is worse than the Dar HaMavel. And he said it's 40 years ago, and things have gone 100 times worse than 4 years ago. So we're living in a side of tremendous hashkasa. Tremendous hashkasa. So we understand on the one hand the idea of protect yourself, protect your family, don't expose them to all sorts of people, all sorts of things, right? And you find to the extreme you'll have your square town that is totally, right, independent of the outside world. Everything, they're self-sufficient everywhere. They don't want to deal with the outside world. And then you have the other extreme, the Jews that really very much pride themselves in being very involved in the physical world and being observant. And you have some that try to find that balance. And that's what we struggle with. On the one hand, al teschab al Russia, because the what we see, you know, when you get influenced by the outside world is terrible. So in that light, the question that we must pose is, how do we grapple with a clear directive, reach out and embrace our fellow Jews, and not fall prey to obstacles? So how do you reach out into his world and not fall prey to the very world that you're reaching into, right? And so that doesn't negatively influence our behavior, our lifestyle, right? So how do you do that? How do you reach out and not be affected, right? Okay. So that's his insight. Now we'll see later on, that reaching out may involve just the opposite. Maybe you don't come with his world, you make him come to your world. There are two schools of thought when it comes to Kiev as well. You know, there was Chabad that you know, goes out and they literally step into somebody else's world. And it's an incredibly challenging thing. They've met with success, but it's, you know, and the Rebbe held that should do. And then you have the other approach where Raron and Leib Kales, where they send a kolel as a community. Like, you try to create an enclave, your own community, and invite people into your community. Follow? It's much more dangerous, you know, obviously when you're in their world rather than come in your territory. And we'll see that maybe the right way to do it is to really try to bring them to your territory rather than go into their territory. And we'll see. Okay, let's see. So he brings first a Rabbah Milchus Tshuva. So first we have to know, when we're dealing with a Russia, you know, and bad people, there are different terms to define a Russia. There's a term called an Apikiris. There's some called a Min. Something called a Mumala Davar Echad, which means in only one area he's, right? Then you have a mumma l'chala Tyra Kula. You have somebody who's, you know, a mumma for all of Tyra. The Rambam is describing individuals who are either deficient in their actual observance of mitzvahs or in their belief in the carnal principles of Amunah. So either they're deficient in their actions or in their Amunah. However, the Rambam, in a famous comment in Hilchas Mumrim, says the following. Issues a critically significant qualification which directly impinges on the entire enterprise of Kiruv. Bamed v'amurim, when does this all apply? Be'ish she'kofar b'toyrush v'alpeb machshabtai b'dvarm sh'nulay v'holach achadaitai akala v'achar shvishli v'kofar l'peb v'tchila k'tzodek u'baisis v'chein kolotay machruv. It only applies to a person who has mentally and consciously denied the validity of Tarzopel and followed the directive of his own meager mind and his gaiva. He denies Torah like Tzadik and Baisis and all those less great. Aval b'nei hatoyim, but the children of these people have gone astray. Ubnei b'neim, so their grandchildren, shidichu oisem avoisem, v'gidlo oisem aldaitem, and they raise them nebuch in this way. Harehu ketinik shenishba b'neihem, they have the status of like somebody who's captured amongst goyim, v'gidlu, v'enei zoriz lachas b'darcha mitzvah shari ka'inis. He's like an oinis. L'fikach roi lach ziren b'tshuva, u'lemoshchem b'divrei shalom, ashelesen ha'tevah. But those people, that they didn't know, they didn't have the education, their corrupt parents or grandparents didn't raise them. If anything, they fed them poison, anti-religious things. They're einsim. These people can't be called rishayim, even though not doing a single mitzvah. They're like a tinnik shenishba. They're like a child that was captive amongst goyim and was raised that way. The Gemara discusses that concept. If a kid was captured by goyim and he was never raised as yid, because he can't possibly be held responsible for all that various he did. So he says that is a whole different animal. So you have the Russia who chooses on his own, and you have those that simply don't know any better. There are most people that feel today that even the conservative rabbi and the reform rabbi, most of them will fit into the category of Tinnitus Yisrael. They really don't know better. Most of them. There are some that are well-learned that rejected the Torah. There are some. But in today's Torah, it's more of the former. The people, they simply, they never really got a good Torah education to begin with. They were given, you know, half-baked information to begin with. Alright? That's a very, very major yisod. Alright? So that's a major yisod. Okay? And then he says, the gam king, Einoi roi la harchik michilei shabosses v'limas oisam el lakavim lazarzim basiyas and mitzvahs. Therefore, such people, again, he talks about the end of the Geres HaShemad, such people, Einoi roi la harchik michilei shabosses. So therefore, don't alienate those people who are desecrating Shabbos. The limois oisam ella lekavrim lazarzam basisa mitzvahs. Vakapirshu chazal shaposheya shaposha birtsoinai kishiyava lebeisa kenes lesbal mekavrim leisai veinahagim by midik bizoyin. And he says a chazal told us that when somebody was an avarian and he comes on his own to enter the place of davin, you should be welcomed and not sent away. That's what it brings down in the Geres HaShemad. And he goes on to say, for some choysel divrei shleimer leivuzu leganav kiyignoi leivuzu lepoishei Yisrael shehein boyin lespaul beseis leganav mitzvahs. Alright? So in other words, there's this idea that when a yid comes to davin, that we see that as a sign that they're looking to be helped. Again, we're trying to explain now, again, how Avram dealt with Lot. On the one hand, Hashem had tainus on him. When he sent him away, he said, "Every the Gansaveld, you're trying to help, and your own nephew, you're trying to send away." On the other hand, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't speak to Avram as long as Lot was there. So we're trying to figure out exactly how to do this. Okay. There's a Maisa, rather, a fascinating Maisa. It happened, supposedly, a few years ago, someone sent this to me with Rabbi Yashiv. There was a yid who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and his daughter went off to Derech. She married a guy that lived in Switzerland, and then a few months after they got married, the guy died. And a few months later, she died. So what happened was they wanted to bury her, and in Switzerland they refused to bury her in the Jewish cemetery. She married a guy. You can't get buried in a Jewish cemetery. So the father was like Smench. He couldn't, you know what to do. So I think he knew Rabbi Yashiv person. I'm not sure it sounded that way in the story. He went to Rabbi Yashiv, so what should he do? So Yashiv said, listen, just find out if she, your daughter, before Yom Kippur, before, you know, she went to shul that year, before she died. He said, not Shaykh, she had no Shaykh, it's a Yiddish guy. He said, just find out. Anyway, he did some detective work, and he found out, Taka, that before she died, she went to Yom Kippur Shul for a few hours. So Rabbi Yashiv said, "Oy bazai, it's not possible. She didn't have some hirhurei tshuva. She went to Yom Kippur. She must have some hirhurei tshuva. She must have had some thoughts of tshuva, and therefore she has the right to be buried in the Yiddish cemetery. That's impossible." So you see, Mamish, the idea that a yid comes to shul and he wasn't being shul, he could be a nevarian, but something's touching his neshama. That's what the Rambam is saying over here as well. Okay, so you don't send it away. The Rambam has told us, therefore, tinnik shenishba is determines the status of a non-observant Jew, right? So even though the Rambam earlier talked about the min and not be kairos, he says that there's another status called tinnik shenishba. All right, and then he brings down the Chavetz Chaim and the Bi'ur Halacha. Let's turn the page. That a mumer mechal Shabbos, somebody who's a mumer to mechal Shabbos, so it's contingent upon an individual who acts with malice. No, it's deliberate and it's willful. It's deliberate and it's willful. By the way, the words deliberate and willful, I always had time to actually hear the Supreme Court in session. Because the Supreme Court, sometimes, that the people are smart. There are many people are smart. And there's a lot of, there's a lot of lumdus there. So I happen to know some people that clerk for Supreme Court Justice. And so you can get these tickets to get in. So my wife and I went. It was Chalamoyd. It was, I don't know what it was. No, I don't know, it was Chalamoyd. It was some Tommy Adolf. And there was a whole, there were two cases. And one case was discussing the terms that the ruling said that it has to be, he's only chayiv if it's deliberate and willful. So they're going through a whole shita, like, what's deliberate and what's willful? Could it be deliberate without willful? Could it be willful without deliberate? And there was a whole shock and tire back and forth. And Takasua, Scully and others, and Mamish, they chat, they Mamish, and some went over their heads. But the only thing I was disappointed, actually, with the Supreme Court, I'll tell you, was that I was mechunach, and so I was recasting in the Chaim Berlin, in Kavod HaTorah. And by the way, that's why Ran did the right thing, and I we have to emphasize this. When a Rebbe, or a Shiva, certainly, but anybody starts a share, there's no in and out. Remember, Futna said share, the door is locked, nobody in, nobody out. You had to go to the bathroom, you thought about it beforehand. You want to go, you came late, too bad. This Kavod, you don't disrupt. You hear people walk in and out, like, it's a movie theater, go in, go out, there's intermission, all sorts of dachen. No. It should be unheard of. So, there's a lot of coveted Torah. And you don't walk in, walk out. I was very bothered that the Supreme Court cases, they allow for people to go in and out the whole time. And to see the case. To me, it was like a priestess. Everything else about the court, if you've been to the Supreme Court, it's really malchistic. There's a certain respect for the law. You really feel that power. That I think this is the nicest building, or the most powerful building in D.C., Supreme Court building. You feel the majesty of din. You really do. But I found a priest that people walked in and out. You won't give me that. It really bothered me. But anyway, that's what he says. So if one has been led astray or unaware, then he's not considered to be a mumer. A tinnik shenishba is different. Now we'll talk about, we said later, the conservative form rabbi, that it fit into that category of one or the other. Let's see. The Chazon Ish in a number of places underscores this point as well. All right? And then let's see the Chafetz Chaim. Ki be'ebes bezmaneinu afilu l'chafeshim v'achoytim motzei harba b'neihem she'enem l'achas chasholim. The Chafetz Chaim says today even the free thinkers, the transgressors, right? That he says that they're not l'achas. Rak toyim heim ha'yidei eza poishim v'at demaisim v'nederach. Most of them were led astray. They were led astray. Now the people that led them astray, the choyte yamachti, that's a different cheshbon. But the ones that were led astray, who mitzvah rabba l'rachem aleim l'haroysam aderach anachayna. Okay, so he brings down the Chavetz Chaim also says this, and the Chavetz Chaim says, well, mitzvah adarabba. Those people that were led astray, adarabba. Okay. So let's go to the last paragraph, the third last paragraph. The gist of these positions is to disabuse those who would summarily dismiss non-observant individuals and categorize them as mechus l'machda. Not everybody is mechus l'machda. And yet simply to open the floodgates without restraints or constraints is to be oblivious of the dangers. You can't open the gates. We're talking about, right? We said that you could be more impacted. It's easier to become impacted for bad than to impact somebody else for good. Right? We said that, right? We just said that. I think, yeah, Tanya, right? We said that. Yeah, if you come in contact with a behemoth tameya, just contact makes you tameh. But in order for a behemoth to become tara, it has to be cooked together, right? That has to absorb the kedusha. So on one hand, you have a chrayis to help out. On the other hand, the pitfalls you can't be ignored. All right.
Is anybody today that's not called a
tinnik shenishba? So I had this conversation around just for recently because I was talking about a particular conservative rabbi that I want to know if I can give him an aliyah when it comes to my shul when it comes. And Rav Aaron held this, at least he held his attention. He held that today, most of attention. I think maybe the old timers. I think the old timers have that time. Yeah, I mean, no one's like the Slobodka. They wrote their Chiddush Torah on Shabbos. You know, those are mamish.
America had these guys.
America also had them. But I think today, most of them, they're woefully ignorant. It's shockingly sad how they're supposed to go through education. There's a seminar, and they really know nothing. They have no respect for a Messiah or Bechlal. And they don't know. And they think they have a right to just play around with the words. They think they're, no. That's it. So it's most of them don't. Yeah, would you say any disagree with that?
What do you think? Most of them today are.
That most of them today, they I think I a few years ago when I was in Rosh Hashanah in Washington D.C. So Rosh Hashanah was also one day fell out on Shabbos. So there was a conservative woman had this service going on. I was just curious what they were doing. So I said, "Do you blow shofar on Shabbos?" It was Rabbi. It's Shabbat. Of course not. Now, she had trumpets playing. She had everything else going on. Everyone's running. But Shema Yavarenu, she didn't know about. She thought, Shabbat, you can't, you know, she had no idea. So simply Xavier Shema Yavarenu, Alamas, right? She, Shabbat, Rabbi. Everybody knows you can't blow shofar on Shabbos, right? I said, why are you blowing horns and why are you driving? The mamas, it's total ignorance. The mamas think they know. It's total ignorance. So for many of them, it's very sad. This conservative rabbi guy just told me, he was laughing himself. He said a woman came up, they want to have a bris, but they want to take out, when they make the bracha, the word v'tzivanu. They're opposed to the word v'tzivanu. No v'tzivanu. They don't want v'tzivanu. Take out the, could they have a blessing without the word v'tzivanu? It's nebuch. It's nebuch. These are not, it's a very sad state today. They're very sad. Okay, let's go. So, In the spirit of myself is Labanim, that these are the patriarchs signed for the children. Okay, let's go to Avraham Avinu, who was the Ayiv Shalom, Raiv Shalom, Ayiv Zabrius. All right, so let's see what it says. Malamet shei Adam mekapeach Zabrius machnis tachas kam v'shchina keder she Avraham Avinu mekapeach Zabrius machnis tachas kam v'shchina. V'loy Avraham levad osa el afsara shenem aviyka Avraham esari ish tayves loy penachim v'skal v'chusham esvashu nefesh. But I want to tell you, I don't want to spend too much time on this now, but that Avram and Sarah were both involved in Kiruv, was I said yesterday, Avram, we spoke about earlier, Avram's Begayer the Anashim, and Sarah's Begayer the Anashim. And it really should remain separate. Because otherwise, it's not a lechatila. You have to be very careful, there have to be many. In Yonei Shmira, you have to do a lot of protection. If you want to reach out to the opposite side of the sex, you might be extremely, extremely careful. I'm not going to get into today. It's going to be addressed, by the way, in case you're wondering, but the whole scandal in Washington, D.C. is going to be addressed. I spoke to Ravan about it. He's going to speak to you guys tomorrow. He can't do it today. It has to be addressed. And I don't talk about it only because let him talk about it. But all I will say is that a person has to know that we all have types inside, and unless you're constantly working on yourself, and you're constantly, there's no cruise control, no such thing as cruise control, and without constant shmira, and people laugh away, oh, the chazal, they're so wacky, that yichud, wow, all these things, that's so far-fetched, all these things, your mamasi. Someone commented to my wife recently, that I forgot why it came up. I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, no. My wife was discussing a certain abuse that a girl was abused by a sibling. Sexual abuse, you know, growing up, and you can't imagine what the ramifications are years later that the person still fighting through. So my wife went to speak to. It was about a woman. So I told my wife she should speak. She spoke to a very chasher Rebbetzin who knows these things pretty well. So Rebbetzin just came to my wife. You know. People laughed at Chazal. Chazal said that even yichud between a brother and a sister is not supposed to be for a long period of time. Could be for a night or two, but not over a period of time. People go, what? Meshuggah, brother, sister. And if you take a look, abuse within family, sexual abuse is rampant. Chazal knew what they're talking about. Most physical abuse, it takes place not in the family, not outside the family. So Chazal, mom's what they're talking about. So people laugh up Chazal, far-fetched. There's no such thing as being guaranteed against a rice, especially a rice. Anything but a rice is the biggest type of them all. And without constant shmira, you're finished. And that explains how this person became such a sick person. because he was a one-man show, and there was no shmir on him. He didn't have shmir on himself, no shmir. And he did things that are gefelech, and I'll get around and talk about it, and I hold this mitzvah to talk about it. We have to talk about it, because people can have their emunah shaken, people could have, you know, understand how could somebody learn Torah do this. There's tremendous ramification, and it has to be discussed. It's going to be discussed with the old groups only with juniors, seniors probably. I think the younger ones are not mature enough to handle it. And I asked Reb Kasten if he could speak to Ravan. I asked Ravan to, and Ravan agrees 100% has to be done. He just can't do it today, he's not here today. But we'll know tomorrow, will be discussed. And I think it's important.
That was a from guy?
Yeah. So it's pathetic, it's sad, it's sickening, it's disgusting. It's a chil Hashem, I've never in my life, in my whole lifetime, seen such a chil Hashem. This is the biggest chil Hashem I've ever been aware of. By far. By far the biggest chil Hashem. There have been from people, and even rabbis have done terrible things. Chvesas, you know, they sold non-kosher, they've committed adultery. This is beyond the pale. This is by far the worst, a millionfold. Anyway, it hurts me to talk about it, but it has to be talked about. Anyway, bottom line is that it clearly it's an avos megayev as a nashim, and a certain megayev as a nashim for that reason. All right, okay. So let's learn, and now what we do now is we're going to learn. Here we get to now the principle of Kiruv based on how Avram dealt with Lot. That's what I want to get to. I want to get to how Avram dealt with Lot. Alright? So let's start on page 5. It's the third paragraph. The Pasuk states, Vayelech Avram kashadiber elev Hashem, Vayelech itoy Lot. And Avram went as Hashem spoke to him, and Lot went with him. The Medrash says, Shahaya Lot tafaloi, Vayelech itoy Lot. Lot went with him, but Lot was tafal to Avram. That's a very important piece. That Lot felt secondary. He didn't feel that he asserted himself. So Avram was in control of the show. And Lot felt secondary to him. He was subordinate. That's a better word. Lot was subordinate to Avram. The Zohar indicates that Lot became a protege of Avram, somehow sensing the greatness of the person, desiring to learn from him and cling to him. So initially, when Lot was with Avram, and the reason why Avram was must have Lot with him, because he saw it was on his terms. Lot came with Avram means it was on Avram's terms. Lot looked up to Avram, and therefore Avram took it. Vayelech ito Lot. That's clue number one. In the beginning, we'll see that's why Avram changed his mind. Later on, we'll see there's a shift. But the beginning is Vayelech ito Lot. So Lot saw himself as subordinate to Avram. Okay, now it's on my terms. It's on my turf. I can be my spiel on you. If it's on your terms, your turf, we're going to have to stop. All right, we'll stop here today. Guys, hold on to this.